Politics means money, but this year there are different kinds of money entering the race.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama's re-election campaign today released their latest fundraising take for the last 3 months of 2011. The campaign reports donors shelled out a hefty $68 million for the president's organization. So his coffers, of course, are looking pretty good this year. But Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports the GOP is counting on a new advantage.
The president's campaign aides deny it, but some say he'll raise a record $1 billion this year, breaking his own 2008 record of $750 million. Republican candidates who are still slugging it out in their primaries are far behind in direct campaign donations, but the new independent super PACs, which can accept unlimited cash, are leveling the playing field, according to Bradley Smith, a former chairman of the Federal Election Commission.
Republican voters right now are less trustful of their party than our Democratic voters. They think it's, you know, too establishment or whatever. They're more likely to turn to these super PAC organizations.
Smith says Republican super PACs are outraising their Democratic competitors. But by just how much, we won't know until super PACs are required to disclose their finances at the end of January. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, of course, the president's campaign is taking donations from those who want to help. And among those who are stepping up to the plates are top fashion designers. Today, a group launches a campaign called Runway to Win, donating custom T-shirts and other items to raise money for Mr. Obama's reelection. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, choosing candidates isn't something every company is comfortable doing.
Designer Marc Jacobs contributed to the fashion campaign, but the multinational that owns his namesake company did not. Luxury behemoth LVMH doesn't want to alienate customers by picking political sides in an election year.
LVMH wants to be friends of whoever wins, and they want their luxury goods and all of that to be part of any White House.
Adam Hanft helps companies develop their brands. He says many of the designers involved have dressed First Lady Michelle Obama.
It looks very opportunistic, and I don't think it's particularly good for their individual brand names.
Designer Prabal Gurung says his support has nothing to do with cozying up to President Obama.
The real American dream that everyone talks about happened to me. And, you know, as an immigrant to this country, I'm inspired by his story.
Gurung points out that some of his best customers are Republicans, but he doesn't worry about alienating them.
God forbid, they are the kind of people who are going to stop buying my clothes based on something that I believe in.
The campaign could generate more business from Democrats. On the Obama campaign website, one woman posted that she loves supporting the president by purchasing new clothes. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is up about a tenth of a percent, but the Dow is down at the moment about a quarter of a percent, 31 points, 12,417. Got word today that retail sales rose at the weakest pace in more than a year, more than half a year, I should say, just one-tenth of 1%, according to a report today from the Commerce Department. And for 2011 as a whole, sales were up almost 8% over the year before. We also learned today the number of American homes that received a foreclosure filing dropped to a four-year low last year, according to the firm RealtyTrack.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
Another piece of information we got today, more people got in line for first-time unemployment checks last week. The government said this morning weekly jobless claims rose to 399,000. That is up by more than 20,000 for the week. Well, jobless claims had been on the decline over the past month or so, and with the unemployment rate going down, we have seen an uptick of Latino immigrant workers in this country who are sending money back home. Manuel Orozco is an expert on remittances, as they're called, and he's a senior associate at the Inter-American Dialogue in Washington. Manuel, thanks for being with us.
Hi.
Now, remittances were way down at the height of the recession, but it seems like they may be picking up a little bit?
Yes, there is a slight recovery, somewhere around 8% increase from 2010 to 2011. A lot of it is associated to the declining unemployment in the U.S. economy.
Declining unemployment, so more people who are working here in the States are sending money back home to Mexico.
Yes, the total volume that we estimated came to Latin America in 2011 amounts to about $68 billion, which is a similar amount to 2007.
You say that this is certainly a sign about unemployment. What does it say to you about the overall U.S. economy?
Well, I think there are more hirings for immigrants. It suggests that the economy, especially small businesses, are relying on foreign labor to increase their productivity. And increases in construction, for example, in some part of the U.S. where foreign labor is in demand.
You mentioned $68 billion. What does that flow of money mean for economies such as Mexico and those Latin American countries?
Well, it means that you have also an increase in the purchasing power of people that receive remittances. For example, a country like El Salvador, with a population of 6 million people, over 20% of people depend on this flow of money, and they've received $3.7 billion in remittances. That's an increase just for a personal household, for example. It increases their income by 50%. So a small increase in the amount comes to signify an extra month of earnings for them.
Implications for the global economy. All right. Interesting conversation. Manuel Orozco, Senior Associate over at the Inter-American Dialogue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And finally this morning, looking for the next vacation to take? How about North Korea? CNN reports the impoverished communist country is accepting tourists after nixing that idea just for the winter. The country will allow tourists in groups and only in groups. There are packages that include hotel, food, and transportation. Some spots that are open to tourists, a mountain that's the mythical birthplace of the Korean people, and the northern side of the demilitarized zone, the 38th parallel. But there are a couple of stipulations. You cannot be South Korean, and you can't be a journalist. Shoot, I just renewed my passport, too. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They've got cell phones and iPods and Facebook and everything. It's tough to get a teenager's attention. Now imagine how television advertisers feel.
I always have my TV on in the background, but when it's not entertaining enough, I get on YouTube.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the future of TV, the Know Your Audience edition, next time on Marketplace. Also, the day's business news. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.